After a few minutes' progress up the dark tunnel, a distant sound of slowly shifting rock reached Harry's ears. "Ron!" Harry yelled, speeding up. "Ginny's okay! I've got her!" He heard Ron give a strangled cheer, and they turned the next bend to see his eager face staring through the sizable gap he had managed to make in the rockfall. "Ginny!" Ron thrust an arm through the gap in the rock to pull her through first. "You're alive! I don't believe it! What happened? How? What? Where did that bird come from?" Fawkes had swooped through the gap after Ginny. "He's Dumbledore's," said Harry, squeezing through himself. "How come you've got a sword?" said Ron, gaping at the glittering weapon in Harry's hand. "I'll explain when we get out of here," said Harry, with a sideways glance at Ginny, who was crying harder than ever. "But later," Harry said shortly. He didn't think it was a good idea to tell Ron yet who'd been opening the chamber, not in front of Ginny anyway. "Where's Lockhart?" "Back there," said Ron, still looking puzzled, but jerking his head up the tunnel toward the pipe. "He's in a bad way. Come and see." Led by Fawkes, whose wide scarlet wings emitted a soft golden glow in the darkness, they walked all the way back to the mouth of the pipe. Gilderoy Lockhart was sitting there, humming placidly to himself. "His memory's gone," said Ron. "The memory charm backfired. It's him instead of us. Hasn't got a clue who he is, or where he is, or who we are. I told him to come and wait here. He's a danger to himself." Lockhart peered good-naturedly up at them. "Hello," he said. "Odd sort of place, this, isn't it? Do you live here?" "No," said Ron, raising his eyebrows at Harry. Harry bent down and looked up the long, dark pipe. "Have you thought how we're going to get back up this?" he said to Ron. Ron shook his head, but Fawkes, the phoenix, had swooped past Harry and was now fluttering in front of him, his beady eyes bright in the dark. He was waving his long golden tail feathers. Harry looked uncertainly at him. "He looks like he wants you to grab hold," said Ron, looking perplexed. "But you're much too heavy for a bird to pull up there." "Fawkes," said Harry, "isn't an ordinary bird." He turned quickly to the others. "We've got to hold on to each other. Ginny, grab Ron's hand. Professor Lockhart?" "He means you," said Ron, sharply to Lockhart. "You hold Ginny's other hand." Harry tucked the sword and the sorting hat into his belt. Ron took hold of the back of Harry's robes, and Harry reached out and took hold of Fawkes's strangely hot tail feathers. An extraordinary lightness seemed to spread through his whole body, and next second, in a rush of wings, they were flying upward through the pipe. Harry could hear Lockhart dangling below him, saying, "Amazing! Amazing! This is just like magic!" The chill air was whipping through Harry's hair, and before he'd stopped enjoying the ride, it was over. All four of them were hitting the wet floor of Moaning Myrtle's bathroom, and as Lockhart straightened his hat, the sink that hid the pipe was sliding back into place. Myrtle goggled at them.
"You're alive," she said blankly to Harry.
"There's no need to sound so disappointed," he said grimly, wiping flecks of blood and slime off his glasses.
"Oh, well, I've just been thinking. If you had died, you'd have been welcome to share my toilet," said Myrtle, blushing silver.
"Ugh," said Ron, as they left the bathroom for the dark, deserted corridor outside.
"Harry, I think Myrtle's grown fond of you. You've got competition, Ginny." But tears were still flooding silently down Ginny's face.
"Where now?" said Ron,
with an anxious look at Ginny. Harry pointed. Fawkes was leading the way, glowing gold along the corridor. They strode after him and, moments later, found themselves outside Professor McGonagall's office. Harry knocked and pushed the door open.